Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing.
Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave, from L.A., coming to you live from FEMA Region number 6. Today is the 20th of February, 2019. It is a Wednesday. We have a live show for you. Usually there would be Wise Wednesday that would be on, but there is no Wise Wednesday today. And as soon as Brother Davis and Sister Davis are able to get back on air, because they're taking care of some, you know, they have a huge project with their farm, and it takes a lot of work. So when they're back available, they will have the show again. So in the meantime, we will keep going from there. At any time, if you'd like to jump in on the conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056. We have in studio today is Pastor Keith is back in studio. He decided to come off of his hiatus and to make himself available to us, also ready to go. Pastor Keith, welcome.
Good to be back.
Yes, it is. Okay, so we would love to hear from you all in today's show. Excuse me, I hate to say but you know, on live radio or just in conversation, you sometimes do that, and I don't like doing it, but hey, it happens from time to time. So at any time, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, just give us a call, 704-802-5056, as we move into today's live show. But before we do that, we're going to first talk about supporting the network. Please go and support Black Talk Radio Network. You can very easily do that by going to the website for this network of www.blacktalkradionetwork.com and finding the donation prompt and hitting it and sending some of your financial energy so this network can stay relevant. Very, very important. And if you haven't given a dollar in the month of February, please do that. Definitely needs to be done. Let's support Black Talk Radio Network, because without it, it won't be here. And everything that you, all of the listeners, there are many, many listeners that actually listen to the program and they haven't supported the network. Okay, now listening and supporting is two different things, so please support the network because you listen. Okay, please do that. It's very important so that it can be here. You know the relevance of it all. It's just like you in your overall everyday activities. If you are working, you want to be supported in that overall effort. Same thing has to happen with this network. So please remember that, the importance of that dynamic, okay? So please do that. You can also support the network by being a part of the social media platform known as BTR Community. BTR Community is a social media platform that was put together with you in mind? Is it more of a grassroots social media activity that won't adversely affect you as much as the other ones will, such as the mainstream media ones, such as Facebook, tweeting, telling, is what I like to say, and Instagram, instant fame, and instant narcissism. That's what that one really is. So come on over to BTR Community, where you can actually engage in a more holistic form of media, social media activities. You can post things about yourself, your business, events that you like, or things that you think need to be have more public awareness. And you can do that in a more holistic way, is where you can monetize that within reason, and it be more direct to supporting your overall beliefs and your overall interests in a way that benefits the community that you are actually seeking to strengthen. Okay, so come on over to BTR Community. $24 a year is all it takes to do that, and you will be able to engage in a more private platform where you don't have to worry about everything that you do being put on social media blast, which when you go to Facebook, that's what happens. And there's a very, very steep price that's paid for this. You know that a price for something is more than a dollar value. It really is. So think about that. Be aware of that. Okay? So come on over to BTR Community. And also, if you would like to acquire real money, go to Prosperity Mint. Prosperity Mint is a full-service precious metals dealership where you can exchange your currency, your debt, for money, for an asset. So go there, check out what's in inventory, then email Prosperity Mint at info@prosperitymint.com and say, hey, Dave sent me, and they will contact you with and show you how to properly purchase and acquire the precious metals, because there is a process. It's not just sending cash and getting the overall metals. No, it's much, much more to it. So please engage in that. It's to your benefit. Okay. So now we're going to jump into what's in the news. And to do that, Keith, did you have anything before we got going in today's show?
No, sir.
Huh?
Not yet.
You didn't?
Unbelievable.
Well, no, it's just I know that you're in between your games, and you might be encroaching on a new low score. So I know that that's important. So, but we're going to jump into, if that's all right with you, Keith, we're going to jump into what's in the news.
Absolutely.
Okay, here we go. What's in the news for? But I forgot to say today's show. The name of today's show is Part Two of A Deficient Statehood, the true reality show. And the deficient statehood is the deficient statehood of the United States. So this is going to be part two of that. Looking forward to having that with you all. Okay, here we go. This first article from What's in the News comes from UNZI Review. The international rogue nation, America. But, you know, that really needs to change, because America is, as we always say here, let's look at, you know, when they try to categorize the United States as America, you know, that's a part of the psychological profiling that's being done.
Sure.
America is just a continent, right?
America is, yes.
America is a continent. The continent of America is not the United States. See, what the United States likes to do is, by showing its overall dominion over other nations, that's why they have the continent recognized as the overall state and country.
Right. And be North America.
Right. And but see, there's a psychological impact on that that is actually facilitating subjugation. And it's very, very important. So this really should read the international rogue nation, the United States. Very, very, you know, significant read there. It said in 2003, we're going to come back to this one. In 2003, it says America, but it should say the United States. and his lapdog, UK, invaded and destroyed Iraq on the basis of lies to the effect that the United States and the UK regime were certain that Saddam Hussein had and was developing weapons of mass destruction. These U.S. allegations were based on falsehoods when they stated it publicly and published it. So we're going to take a look at this whole rogue state, the United States rogue nation, the international rogue nation, the United States.
You know, there's a movie out that it didn't get a whole bunch of attention. It gets some. But if you like to go to the movie, there's a movie out called Vice. And it's a pretty good movie. And it talks about some of those things that I'm sure is in that article we just talked about. It's basically a movie of Dick Cheney.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a pretty good movie. And it talks about some of those things.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, I know that you have actually recommended that a couple of times.
Hey, can I ask Keith a question? Keith, does it whitewash Cheney or does it reveal some truth?
It reveals some truth.
Okay. I'll check it out.
Yeah, so I hadn't seen it because I'm not as Keith said, if you're a moviegoer, because he knows I'm not a moviegoer. But I will take you guys, as for those of you that do check it out, let us know.
I'm not a movie goer either, but I watch movies, and I'll leave it at that.
My man, Scott, well stated in a more direct way. So yes, I'm with you, Scott. So next article, so CBS News, and I like to call them the criminal broadcast station. And here it is, five problems with the $22 trillion national debt. Five problems with the $22 trillion national debt. Check out that article. Next article.
So with that being said, there's another thing. I don't know if one of our articles you got covered today, but I just find it so interesting that you talked about the $22 trillion in debt.
Yeah.
There's a lot of momentum that seems to be building about them talking about selling the state of Montana to Canada.
Yep, that's going to be the next article, Keith.
Okay.
Yep. Then the next article, as Keith was stating, my man Marv, thanks to my man Big Marv for sending this to me yesterday from Lying Like a Fox News. U.S. sell Montana to Canada for $1 trillion.
Now, what I was going to say about that is...
We're not saying nothing about that yet. We're going to come back to that.
Okay.
No, go ahead, Keith. Go ahead.
Well,
we're going to come back to it, Keith.
In line with what you were saying.
Yeah, we're going to come back to that article. That article is pretty significant.
All right.
I'm just going to say this. But go ahead, Keith. Say what you were going to say, or would it filter better into... Would it flow better into...
Well, it's just a simple comment.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just find it interesting that...
Great comment, Keith. We're going to go ahead and go back to it. I'm just playing. Go ahead, Keith.
For $1 trillion.
Yeah.
And they're talking about being $1 trillion in debt.
Yeah.
I mean, $22 trillion in debt.
Yeah.
And an article also came out that because of the way things are, right, we will go in debt at least $1 trillion every year.
Yeah.
So if we're going into debt an additional $1 trillion every year, what good does it do to self-repent?
Well, this is the psychological programming and conditioning for the untied states of America. And we've been talking about that from the very day, because if you know how debt works and you know how the bankers use debt, they use debt to do what, Keith? To seize and steal
assets and control.
To have assets and control and to acquire something without paying for it. When they use cash, they're not, and they get something of value, of intrinsic value for it. Guess what the pay is? Guess what the payment is? Nothing. And we have to understand that and grasp that, the importance of it, because then it removes the overall falsehood that cash is money. And it causes us to basically see that cash is the trick to stealing money. Robbery, in my opinion, is not just keep, you know, the legal definition. Man's legal definition of robbery is done by force or by fear.
Right.
But I have a different one. I have what I'd like to say is I think it's more in tune to the spirit of the law and the ecosystem. Robbery is done by force, fear, and by fraud. Force, fear, fraud. That's robbery, because what you're doing is you are changing the overall direction of prosperity for generations. And this is why we become in a position of disenfranchisement in man's economy, because we don't know what money is. And if we don't know what money is, we can never understand and fully comprehend the value thereof.
Hey Dave, I want to chime in with something related. And, you know, I do credit you with educating me on the difference between currency and what money is. Currency can be used to obtain real money or resources. Yeah. I understand that. But at the same time, though, you know, I was just going over some news headlines and, you know, thankfully the Supreme Court just struck a blow against these states that are stealing people's currency with, you know, these fines in what they call forfeiture seizures and whatnot. And I believe we've talked about that before, because that's a, you know, when you talk about using force and fear to deprive people of resources, and currency is a resource, you know, that's one of the ways that I feel like it's been going under the radar for far too long. And particularly they targeted certain communities, non-white and poor communities, with these asset forfeitures and what have you. So I got to read up on the article, but that's a good sign, but I got to get into the details of it later.
The asset forfeiture is actually, because asset forfeiture is a part of the enslavement program. That's, you know, that's because when you start to illegally and through malevolent means and methods, because the system right now is set up in a malevolent operation against people, and when you use that, they're doing that to create an environment so that they can have the overall channeling and herding of people to violate the letter of the law, so that they can arrest them and now and enslave them even further. Absolutely, Scotty. Asset forfeiture is really, really used in a way and means to steal.
Right, right. And the drug war has facilitated that more than anything. And so I got some more information. It says the case came out of Indiana. It says Supreme Court says Indiana can't take a convicted criminal's SUV because the Bill of Rights ban on excessive fines covers the states. So, yeah.
Read it again.
Supreme Court says Indiana can't take a convicted criminal's SUV because the Bill of Rights ban on excessive fines covers the states.
Interesting.
Because you know when, you know, and again, you know, this, the biggest way that they do this is through the drug war. You know, they find some crack in your car, they taking the car. And then they gonna sell the car, and then the proceeds go to the slave catcher. who sees that asset. You know what I'm saying? So you know, and not to mention, you know, false convictions or wrongful convictions. And so I'm glad to see sometimes the Supreme Court gets it right.
Yeah, let me piggyback on that a little bit more, because it's actually far worse than that.
Yeah.
And what happens now, if a cop pulls you over, if a police officer pulls you over, he might ask you, do you have cash in the car, a large amount of cash, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
At that time, he can confiscate your cash with filing no charges, no tickets,
mm-hmm.
no anything. Then he can make you forfeit your assets simply on demand, because he has a suspicion that it's involved with drugs, where he says it has a suspicion. Now, you could come out with evidence. You call my mom, this is for this purpose. Call my landlord to pay my rent. Call this person, I'm about to build a business, and for cars, whatever, and they can take those assets.
Yeah.
Now, what take those assets, you'll have to go to court to sue for them back.
And you might not get them back.
I'm sorry?
You might not get them back. Let me give another example. Now, I use the drug war, but I've seen cases where a church secretary was taking, you know, the collections that they got on Sunday to deposit in the bank, and got pulled over for a traffic violation. She had the money in a paper bag to take it to the bank, and they seized it. Then there was another case where a guy had won some money at the casino and was driving home, got stopped, and they took his cash.
Yep. It happens a whole lot more than you know.
Yep.
Whole lot more than you know.
Keeper, finish what you were saying, and you were saying something. Were you finished?
Yeah, because asset forfeiture by demand of the police officer is happening very, very often. And like I said, the real thing is, and you're right, Scotty, it was primarily based off of the drug thing.
You know what? And you know what it really is, right?
Robbery.
You know what it is? State of emergency. The how they're using this whole thing. How they're using this whole thing is like you and Scotty was saying, through the drug thing. So now, because of the state of emergency from the drug war, see, the drug war and all these things, these psychological things, they can give the excuse, this is the reason why we're doing this, and people say, well, oh, okay. When the full violation of the law is that, guess what? You don't even have reasonable suspicion.
No,
because seizure is a form of arrest, and you can't arrest off of reasonable suspicion. You need what? Probable cause.
And so interesting you bring that up, because now I think people are starting to realize they're still in the dark about most of this stuff. But what you just got done saying, as you start looking at what Scotty was saying, these forfeitures for no reason, what you're starting to look at with searches, all these searches. And did you know that they can go in your home and search now without warrants? You know, there is so much an erosion of what we used to call civil rights or personal rights and all that, and the people have no clue. Now, when he claims this, what you just got done called an emergency, as bad as it already is, and people aren't aware of
right.
It's multiplied tenfold.
It gets much worse, exactly. And see, what happens is that the system and how they want to be able to continue to take from people, they have a methodology of doing that. And it's all malevolent and criminal. It's full of ubiquitous fraud.
Absolutely.
It's just ubiquitous fraud and criminal activity. This is why this is really a rogue nation. And one of the reasons why we named today's show part two, Deficient Statehood, the true reality show. And it goes right along. I want to just say one more thing about asset forfeiture before we move on into what's in the news. Here's how this whole thing works. It's kind of like if you have a mouse key and you put a mouse inside of a box, a metal box or a glass box that the mouse can't get out of. And if you put poison inside of that box, what is that mouse going to do?
Inside of a glass box?
Yes. What are you going to watch that mouse do? You're going to watch that mouse try to get out.
Yeah.
And then eventually do what? Eat the poison. Right? That's exactly how this system is set up to subjugate people. They create the walls that box people in, and they would otherwise eat something and do something that they wouldn't do if there was no escape. That's how this system works. This is why this judicial system needs its own prosecution against it, because it's actually set up to trap people.
Sure. Sure.
And it's all poison baited.
Sure. You know, and that happens in so many different aspects.
That's
what has happened when they started convincing, the American people to go into debt.
Yeah.
People didn't used
it's
to
the
be
trap.
In
debt. Right, Keith. It's the trap. Now with debt, they have what? Asset forfeiture. They have what?
Control.
They are able to repossess and seize. And it's all a trick. Because the actual terms of the loan are what? Fraud. They're completely fraudulent. That contract is a fraudulent contract. And you are going to. And the thing is that you may get past one or two hurdles, but you'll never get out of running on the track. You'll never get out of the rat race.
And that was key, because what you're saying was ultimately it forfeits your
everything.
But in the process of long before that forfeiture, you have a tool of control.
Yeah.
Because you have to operate by what I tell you or else.
Under these terms. There's the walls.
Yeah.
There's the walls. And here's the poison. Let them eat cake. So, but we're going to get back into what's in the news. Next article, very, very important one. Woo, this is an important one. I'm going to follow it up with another one. This comes from newjersey.com, okay? And the politics section of newjersey.com. And it says True Jersey. Public work pensions are a huge cost for New Jersey. Here's what Phil Murphy is considering to pay them. It's considered to pay for them.
What's his position?
He wants to take state assets and pay into and take those assets and pay into the pension, from lottery tickets to the tollways to other state assets such as the New Jersey Turnpike, New Jersey Transportation Authority, New Jersey Transit, and use those state-owned assets to pay into the pension. Guess what, y'all? It's a huge trick.
It's a lie. They ain't paying no pensions with that.
Well, yes, it's a lie, Keith, right. But here's also with that, Keith, it's a setup. Now, guess what happens? You're going to have to end up selling the state.
Sure. Sure. But here's the thing.
This is where these three stories I'm going to read go together. Selling Montana for $1 trillion, and how do you get New Jersey and the other states to, because there's not just New Jersey, other states are looking at doing this as well.
And here's where the lie comes in.
You're going to get mad.
The fraud, like you said, is exactly what you just said. Where the lie comes in is when they sell those assets, it's not going to pensions.
No, right, Keith.
It's not going to pensions.
No. No. This is why if you continue to play by their rules, they will rule. They're going to continue to give recourse that gives them standing, meaning they're going to continue to give you a solution that gives them even more standing of control.
They're not going to give you anything. Never have, never ever will. So, very, very deadly situation there. So check out that article. Next article. This one comes from Sputnik News. Oppositions has to go over our dead bodies. Oppositions have to go over our dead bodies to install puppet government, the military in Venezuela says. No way, is what they're basically saying. Next article from RT International. Coups are peace. Censorship is truth. Intolerance is love. The three Orwellian slogans Western leaders adore. So true.
Read that again.
From RT International. Coups are peace. A coup d'etat is peace. Censorship, telling people to shut up and actually having recourse against those that speak out against things, is truth. Meaning you shutting up is the truth and not speaking up or standing up for something. Intolerance is love. Three Orwellian slogans Western leaders adore. Exactly 70 years after George Orwell's 1984 came out, more fantasies themselves, most fantasies themselves most fancy, man, most fancy themselves smart to totalitarianism, double speak. Totalitarianism, sorry about that, doublespeak, but pervert lives needed no torchlight or mass rallies, just a tailored suit. Basically saying it's all a lie. They just, and I, what I always say is the devil is dressed in the Sunday's best.
Yeah.
Devil dressed in the Sunday's best. Next article from Press TV. Iran's oil export rises despite U.S. sanctions. What does that tell you? Huge, huge story. Iran's oil exports rise despite U.S. sanctions. Keith?
Ladies getting up to sing.
Ladies getting up to sing. That's telling you everybody is ignoring U.S. sanctions because the U.S. has no what? Credibility, nor do they have any standing anymore in the world. They're like, so what? The U.S. got sanctions on you. Good. That means I can buy cheaper. I'll take it. And then the U.S. says, you better not do it. We'll hurt you. All right, shut up. You're not going to do nothing.
Yeah.
Because you can't do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't even care about your dollar anymore. So you not export nothing. You don't make nothing. How?
And I'm not scared of you anymore. That's the biggest thing. I have no fear of you anymore. Major, major. Next article from the South China Morning Post. Taiwan's darkest military secret revealed by Google Maps. Check out that. And that's their overall Patriot missile bases. Next article, this one comes from Bloomberg. And this one was Deutsche Bank weighs restructuring Trump's loans on default risk. And, you know, it was kind of smart what Deutsche Bank was trying to do here. They knew that there may be some risk with having a president that was overextending themselves financially. And they didn't want to get caught in that overall quagmire. So check out that article. Next article. This is from WirePoints, Illinois Financial News. Asset transfers to pensions. Be afraid.
Say that again.
Asset transfer to pensions, be afraid. And this is an article from WirePoints. And it basically is the same thing, where the state of Illinois wants to transfer some of its assets to pay for pensions. Oh, sounds good. It's a disaster. You're setting up for failure. You're setting up complete for now. This is how the pensions bleed into everything. This is how the pension bleeds into everything and affects and actually moves into position to consume everything.
everything a personal asset.
Yes. Yep. It is huge. Next article from Sputnik News. Russia medical supplies arrived in Venezuela. Check out that article. Next article from RT International. Very, very important one. Putin. If medium-range missiles are deployed in Europe, Russia will station arms to strike decision centers.
Say that again.
Putin, Vladimir Putin, said, if medium-range missiles are deployed in Europe, Russia will station arms to strike decision centers. If the United States deploys intermediate-range missiles in Europe, Moscow will respond by stationing weapons armed not only against missiles themselves, but also at command and control centers from which a launch order would come from. They basically are saying that they will attack the U.S. How are they going to attack the U.S.? With hypersonic missiles. Done deal. So in the article, it says Russia will station arms strikes decision centers. Russia will station arms to strike decision centers. So where are the decision centers coming from? If the U.S. is placing intermediate missiles in Europe, guess where the decision centers are?
First and foremost, it's going to be deep.
Oh, it ain't even going to just be in Europe. It's going to be throughout the continental United States. So what are they going to say? We're going to take them out. How are they going to take them out? With their new weapons, their new scalar weapons. Check out that article. Next article from Press TV. UN chief urges Pakistan, India, and Pakistan to de-escalate tension. Boy, hopefully that does happen. That's a real huge situation. My goodness. Next article from South China Morning Post. U.S. demand for stable yuan to end trade wars. Acceptable to China. Check out that article. They basically want China to stop beating the U.S. in the trade, in the overall currency war. Please, because the U.S. is saying, please.
Who's trying to stop that?
The U.S. is trying to stop China. Say, hey, we'll end the trade war if you'll stop beating us on the currency war. Because China's debasing their currency, making it go down.
Right.
The U.S. can't do that.
Right. In other words, we're losing.
Because it's happening naturally. See, the thing is that most people think a stronger dollar is how you win a currency war. No, it's the opposite.
Yeah, because you're not going to buy with the most expensive.
Exactly.
I would also frame it as they beating them at the capitalist game. Here you got some communists beating you at your own capitalist game in your own country and on the world stage. That's really what's going on. And you can't blame the Chinese because they didn't force American retail stores to get all their goods from China because it's cheaper and they don't want to pay American workers, you know, a livable wage and provide them with benefits. So we'll just go to a communist country where they have socialist programs and, you know, we can get them goods cheaper. So China's beating them at their own capitalist game, man.
Yep, that's the best way to put it.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting. One of the things that really galls me goes back to the days of slavery, right? And what I mean by that is you had your slave masters and the slaves, and they did what they did, and they beat their slaves, they starved them, they did everything that they wanted to do with the slaves. And then when it came an opportunity for the slaves to leave, the slave owners got mad at the thought that, what do you mean you're going to leave me?
I've been good to you.
Yeah. You know, you ain't leaving. I can't even believe you want that. And that's the same attitude that the United States takes today.
Manifest destiny. Yep. So true. So true. So Scotty said it the best, to beat them at their own game. And how do you beat them at their own game is you have an asymmetrical plan to do it. Very easy because the vulnerabilities are real. Next article from Sputnik News. U.S. threatens Venezuelan military, violates U.N. charter, is what the Russians, a foreign minister said. Very true. And we talked about that yesterday. The U.S. threat against Venezuela is the violation of all international law, because they're calling for a coup. They're calling for a coup. So this everything is establishing itself to be able to nullify the U.S., and the U.S. has already lost the battle.
And with that being said, you said
the war
is being done to nullify, but everything that's being done is everything that the United States is guilty of doing.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yes, Keith, that's very true. Next article from RT. Nothing to do with aid or democracy. Roger Waters slams humanitarian concert for Venezuela. Pink Floyd's ex-frontman Roger Waters is slamming Virgin tycoon Branson's aid concert for Venezuela as a sham. Check out that article. Next article from Sovereign Man. America's socialist revolution has officially begun. And what I mean, I think they mean the U.S., United States, once again. Check out that article. Next article, my man Carlos sent me this one. Thanks, man. Great one. He said, Dave, I think you'll like this one. Russia shadows USS Donald Cook as it returns to the Black Sea. And they're actually shadowing all of these ships that are returning to the Black Sea this week as well. USS Donald Cook, you remember last time that you were, one of the times that you were in the Black Sea? What happened to you? You were nullified dead in the water. Heads up. Next article from Fox News, lying like a Fox News. Putin warns Russia will target the U.S. with new weapons if it deploys missiles to Europe. Russia will target the United States with new weapons if it deploys missiles to Europe. What are the new missiles he's talking about? The hypersonic ones. Remember when Vladimir Putin did what be the equivalent to a State of the Union address last year, when they actually was showing their hypersonic missile? And where was that hypersonic missile going to? It was actually flying across the globe, and guess where it started to, its target was? As it started to come into focus, it showed what its target was. And guess what the target was? Florida.
You know what, Dave? I was just talking to somebody about who was pushing some propaganda, and they left out the part about Putin saying, if the United States puts weapons in Europe. Okay, yep. They just try to make it seem like Donald Trump is doing nothing while Putin threatens America. And I'm like, well, what about the part where he said, if you threaten us with weapons? Donald Trump is so dumb and easily manipulated. That's why the neocons were able to warm their way, because he's trying to prove he's not a Putin puppet by restarting the Cold War and pulling out of this agreement and placing sanctions here and there. That because he ran a campaign, and I'm not naive, he could have been lying, you know, but he ran a campaign where he was saying all of these foreign interventions and occupations and invasions is costing us too much money, which is the truth. It's the truth. And then, you know, they come up with this Russian conspiracy theory and keep painting him dog every day. I had to mute MSNBC. I'm so tired of that Russian narrative. I had to put them on mute, you know. But that's what they're doing is pushing Donald Trump into doing what they want him to do, and that is to start a new Cold War, which benefits who? The military-industrial complex.
Right. All the mainstream media does that, and it's so true. You know, he was the perfect personality. He was the perfect character for this time. Obama was the perfect character for the last go-round. This is the perfect personality. So, right, because Medvedev, who was president at the time, told Obama, if you put that missile defense in Europe, we will move our new cellular weapons against that. And it has grown since then. If, right, in response to what's being done. And Scotty, absolutely right. Next article.
Okay. So also, I was reading an article. I should, and I can't remember the specifics as well as I should have. But I was also reading about a new weapon that Russia has, in which they've taken some type of atomic bomb and put in a missile deliverance system.
The Poseidon.
Yes. Underwater, which will explode and take out the power of the entire continent.
Yep. Yep. Yes. Very, very true. As a matter of fact, Chief, guess what our next story is from RT. First ever video of Russian's Poseidon underwater nuclear drone field test released by MOD. And then, well, one before that one was the hypersonic glider. Building the Avgard hypersonic glider was like launching world's first artificial satellite, Putin said.
Really?
And you know, that's a very, very important... You know how, real quick, you know how the Russians were, you know, the Russians were the first in space. As now, the Russians have had much more advancement in space. That's why they have the rest, the International Space Station and everything else. And as you always like to say, the U.S. can't even get into space without asking for a ride in the space with Russia, right? Well, Russia was always ahead of the U.S. in space technology. Has always been. This is why they make the best missiles. This is why they make the best satellites. And this is why their overall, they didn't have to come up with fraudulent, elaborate stories about putting a man on the moon. They actually was actually traversing in space before. You know why, Chief? They were the first ones to get the technology. They were the first ones to get the technology. And if you know how they came about that technology, it's a strange but true thing. Strange but true things. What's that? Yeah, very much so. In order to go from Earth to outer space, that means someone from outer space has to teach you how to do it. In order for you to be extraterrestrial, that means an extraterrestrial has to show you how to do it. And they were the first ones to develop that relationship. So that's how they were able to actually be the preeminent country for space travel. So, and they still hold that title to this day, even through the fall of Russia. Makes you kind of say, huh, maybe there really wasn't a fall of Russia. That was just a what? A trick? Absolutely. So that's what's in the news. I figured you would. Yes, sir.
So, with that technology that you're speaking of,
them and the Germans.
That's what I was going to ask. So, who do you think are the more advanced, Russia or Germany?
In what aspect?
As far as technology and weapon genius.
Ooh. I'm gonna say this because of it. I think that there was a deal that was brokered between those two countries a while ago, but by far, and this is just my opinion, Germany surpassed the whole world. And there was a reason why they did. They were able to surpass the whole world in technology, in engineering, and in science. Because of one factor, two factors, really. One is one what I spoke about with the Russians. The most important factor was the Anglo-Saxon mountains. The Anglo-Saxon mountains provided them with the necessary silver to be able to make the scientific technical advances.
Oh, Germany or Russia?
Germany. Without the silver coming out of the Anglo-Saxon mountains, they wouldn't have been able to surpass Russia, which has a huge amount of natural resources, such as the precious metals, particularly silver. So, yes, I don't really know, but I'm just thinking, Keith, to answer that question. Cool? In between your score. So,
okay, so, and I also just recently read an article that actually Korea,
yes, has the largest, some of the largest deposits,
and they're also
North Korea, that is,
it's actually South Korea that's getting to be the most educated country.
Yes, yes, and North Korea has the resources. There's probably the last large vestige of silver on the planet that remains comes out of is untapped in North Korea. Hence why Russia and China will never allow them to be subjugated or taken over. So very important. All right. So that's what's in the news. And we are going to jump into part two of A Deficit Statehood, the true reality show. Wow, see, we went a couple of places today. But if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. Would love to hear from you all at any time. Very, very important that we do. So, okay, so, Keith. Let's jump into it. You ready?
Ready.
All right. So there's where do we pick up at? There is something that it's a very, very short piece, and it came from one of the articles. I want to focus on this and just talk about the state that the U.S. is under. I want you to hear this from CBS News. I can't send it to Scotty because it won't. Well, I think I can. Let me do that. One sec. It's real short. It's a couple of seconds. One second. Okay, there. Okay, cool. I'm going to send it. I'm going to post it. And Scotty, if you could play this one from CBS News, it's like a couple of seconds. It doesn't have any commercials or anything like that on it. I would greatly appreciate it. It's just want everyone to hear this. Here it is, posted. And it's from CBS 2, CBS News. And just hear this, what's being said. And remember one of the things that I said, once you start hearing mainstream media start to talk about it, you can actually gauge where things are. You really don't want mainstream media to talk about what you have
an all-time high.
You want to be 25 years ahead of them, 10 years ahead of them too. So here we go. Go ahead, Scotty.
The national debt has hit an all-time high despite the strong economy. For the first time in U.S. history, the debt has surpassed $22 trillion. It's climbed nearly $2.1 trillion since President Trump took office. Two big factors contributing to this acceleration include the 2017 Republican tax cuts and increased spending on domestic and military programs. The Trump administration says the tax cuts will eventually minimize the national debt, but experts warn that the debt could hurt the economy.
So I wanted you to hear that real quick, and that was from CBS News, and I think they covered that yesterday. And they said the reasons why. Those reasons why are a lie. The debt is actually increasing because debt gives, when you think about it, here's the cycle of debt. The person that holds the debt doesn't really have a debt problem. It's the person that the debt is owed to that has a debt problem. Okay? The only recourse that the person that holds the debt or the debt is owed to has is what, Keith? If someone can't pay you, you have to, there's a couple of things that you can do. Allow it to go into default.
Break your legs.
There is no debt forgiveness because that debt now is going to consume you and is going to destroy you financially. You can take measures of collecting collateral, or you can do what? As Keith just said, break their leg. Right? There's a
there is a very violent response that can be had. And what's building, ladies and gentlemen, is that the debt is already at a point that even if it was $22 trillion, it couldn't be paid. It's nowhere near $22 trillion. And they said it could hurt the economy. This is how they tell you there's nothing to see here, move along. Right? So that later on, when it becomes a problem, they say, hey, we told you about it, but you didn't listen. It's a very effective, there's something called verbal judo.
Verbal judo.
You haven't heard that in a while, huh, Chief?
It's been a minute.
Verbal judo. And how verbal judo works is this, is that when you're about to kill someone, you whisper to them, everything is all right, you'll be fine. So that you'll lull them into what, Chief? Into
complacency.
And into a position of vulnerability by what? Thinking that they can trust you. The deflection, and is known as verbal judo. Mainstream media practices verbal judo as an art. And this is one of those verbal judo moments that everyone listening that wasn't really keen to what was being said just got kicked in the face and they didn't know it. And then they'll come back tomorrow to want to what? Get kicked again. Or what they think is to find out what's going on in the world.
Hey, Dave, you know, to make people susceptible to verbal judo, that you have to make sure they're not able to participate in critical thinking, you know, which some people naturally have that skill. Some people learn it through education. But again, a lot of times we're not getting education, but more or less indoctrination. Let me give an example. Yep. This guy tried to use some verbal judo on me this morning because of I was talking about the combating BDS legislation working its way through Congress, which would punish American citizens for supporting a boycott, divestment, and sanction program against Israel because of its human rights violations and practicing manifest destiny as a white supremacy satellite in that part of the world. So he gonna say, well, no, the BDS movement targets all Israelis. And let me tell you about the Arab boycott. But I'm like, wait a minute. Aren't Arabs or Arabs also citizens of Israel?
Right.
Because they do. They have Arab politicians. Okay, and yeah. Some Palestinians live inside of Israel and are also citizens. So, you know, yeah. A person not able to critically think. And then, like I told him, I said, this is what you're saying. You're saying that you're making it seem like, I said, by that logic, those who supported the BDS movement against South Africa because of racist apartheid, which Israel supported the racists, I said, that's like saying that the boycott of South Africa was targeting the black Africans that it was trying to help by ending apartheid. So, I mean, but you're right, though, man. The media is always engaged in it. And that's because most Americans can't critically think about things. We get into our emotions or we get into our gang mentality tied to nationalism or this group or that group, and we're just not critically thinking.
Scott, once again, when we come back, I want to comment on what Scotty said because it's very, very important. So listening to Tando Radio Show, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. We'd love to hear from you. I'm not on the board, so if you have a question or comment, then please definitely take a look. I will say yesterday, I just want to tell you, I missed the moon because where I was overcast and raining and everything else. So I hope some of you were able to experience the overall the moon yesterday. I would have liked to have, you know, but hey, it is what it is. So just wanted to say that, you know, just before we went to commercial break, Scotty had talked about how there was someone that tried to practice that verbal judo. You know, I always look at and listen to a person because voice inflection and body language really tells the truth of a person, right? And shows what they're, how they're engaging in you. You can know, you'll know that you're engaging in a sincere conversation, or you're trying to, or you're engaging in a conversation with someone that is trying to outmaneuver you. And really, what they're trying to do is they're trying to suppress or control you, right? And so one of the things that they use is verbal judo. As you know, what's setting in mainstream media, we tell the people what to think. That's our job. We bring the news to people to tell them what to think. Verbal judo. So, and Scotty was absolutely right. It's practiced because people have lost their, well, people have chosen to turn off, or they haven't been able to develop their critical thinking aspect. And if you really think about that, what they've really done is that they've actually surrendered their sovereignty and self-determination and put it in the hands of someone else. It's blind faith. And there is an indoctrination program. And that indoctrination program starts in the overall schools of America. I mean, the schools of the United States. I mean, the schools of the world. That's where they really start. That's what's really happening in the overall school system. It's telling people what to think. It's not developing people's ability to critically discern and critically think and use their overall talents and ability for a critical necessity, our survivability and sustainability as being sovereign and self-determined, so that you can be the way the great creator intended you to be, sovereign and then self-determined. So in order to break that, that really can't be broken. There isn't anything that man can create that can break the sustainability of what God has created for sustainability. But what man can do is that they can coerce, trick, fraudulently move, and move by force and fear. The key word there is fear. And fear becomes energized through anger and through hate to deceive someone to surrender their free will.
Okay, so you said a couple of things there. Yep. And I think those things that you said need to be, because it's all, I think what's important about what Scotty said, what you said, what you later on said, it's important to point out that you can't just put this aside of somebody that's not critical thinking. You can't put this aside of somebody that's it involves.
I just got here.
Yeah, it involves the much. Exactly.
The baby. I just got here.
Exactly.
What was that with the baby, Keith?
When he said, I'm guilty of sin. What do you mean? I just got here. And that's so important because we're engulfed in so many systems.
Yeah.
That we couldn't protect ourselves from all of them. Yeah. Here's an example.
We're submerged in such corruption.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So, like, I gave an example before, but this goes much farther than that. I gave the example of the newbies in Vietnam.
Yeah.
And I told them that they would take the newbies and they take them to massive grave sites, kicking the heads of dead Viet Cong, and in a short matter of time, that brain matter and stuff that used to just utterly disgust them, within a couple of days, that's gone.
Right.
My point is, no matter how much that person would have said to himself, this is going to disgust me, and I'm going to make sure that it's going to continue to disgust me so I don't lose nothing in this process.
Right.
That's beyond their capabilities to do that. So whereas we're exposed to a lot of this stuff, sure, we can fight some of it off with critical thinking, et cetera, et cetera. But a lot of it, we are not capable of consistently fighting at all. It's going to change you.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to change the way you think. It's going to change the way you perceive things. I call it the value. And what I mean by the value is, at one time, certain thoughts would just, if you heard about a murderer on your neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
it was, you know, shock value.
Right. But now you're seeing through social media and those platforms, you're seeing decapitations.
Exactly.
You're seeing, yeah, sure. So that's a part of the overall. But I didn't mean to enter. I just wanted to make
sure. No, you're exactly the point that I'm making.
Hey Keith, so, I understand what you're saying, but I'm talking about those who, I'm not talking about those with an agenda. You know what I'm saying? To push lies and stuff like that. That person know exactly what he was doing. He was lying. Okay. But right. I'm talking about what's a good word I could use for these people? Bystanders who don't have a motive, but because they're unable to critically think, they have their quote unquote trusted news sources, and they trust the news source. And so they automatically believe this stuff is true and don't ask critical questions about the articles or the information that they're reading. I'm talking about the innocence. I'm not talking about those who are nefariously and purposely engaging in this deception. You know, Ross and them have been, and Jenna have been doing a show titled, you know, Creating Perception. And that's what the verbal judo is about. It's about creating false perceptions that run counter to reality.
And yes, Scotty, and you know, to add in, I'm going to let Pastor get in, and that goes into today's show, the deficient state of, excuse me, today's show is the deficient state part two, the reality show. And you both are, and you're saying the exact same thing, yeah. Because you're both identifying that same person, that same bystander, that same person who would not have doesn't have the overall moral convictions to do the things that manipulators do, and how this critical thinking is also attacked and nullified because we're submerged in such corruption is that it goes into the depth of why we're in a deficient state, because our food is poison. We consume a poison. Most people consume a poison every morning. As soon as they wake up, one of the first things that they were taught to do was what? Go brush their teeth. And what do they do? The dentist all recommend fluoride.
Fluoride.
And what does fluoride do to the brain?
Absolute poison.
What does fluoride do to the body? What does fluoride do? It's a ride. Suicide, homicide, pesticide, herbicide, genocide, fluoride. What is it doing? And this is the deficient state that we're really in, and this is how that bystander that Scotty was talking about, a person that would never, they're not interested in, that's not their motives, but they've been captured to now, and what you're saying, Keith, is that the net that captures those bystanders, so that those bystanders now become zombietized.
Let me ask Keith a question. Keith, you served in Vietnam.
No, Keith was in World War One, Scotty. World War One and World War Two. But yeah, Keith,
I'm not nearly that old.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry, but I had interviewed this guy named Nick Terse some years ago, and he had wrote a book talking about the very thing that you had brought up about desensitizing troops. And, you know, they were forced in, you know, I got at least three people in my family that have served in Vietnam, including my father, but they, certain things they won't talk about, you know what I'm saying? But this guy said over there, there was a program to where they made them soldiers refer to the Viet Cong, Vietnamese people in derogatory terms to dehumanize them so that they wouldn't feel any guilt about, you know, murdering villagers or whoever. And I noticed this in myself, man, the other day. I kept seeing 3 days in a row a quote-unquote mass shooting. You know, 4 or 5 people killed at one time or more. All this, there's been several stories. And I had to catch myself because I was like, I don't care. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I had to catch myself because I'm being desensitized because I keep seeing it in the headlines to the point that I don't want to, you know, I'm like, okay, here we go again. I'm just going to, you know, not pay attention to it. But I noticed that in myself, man, that I'm being desensitized to that kind of violence.
Yeah, Scotty, if you go all the way back in history, all the way back, I don't care how many generations you go, you'll find that one of the first ways that a person will bring in the thoughts of genocide, slavery, all of those, is to dehumanize them. And then once they dehumanize them, it frees the mind up to treat those people any way that they choose to, because in their minds they're no longer human.
What it really does is that person is already corrupted. What it really does is that it opens up where they now can go into the mass human pool of talent and get more people. They can now use that, because they use that as a measure to desensitize and get followers to that. You know, Scotty said something very mature. He said, wait a minute, and this is what we always have to be, is extremely mature, because wait a minute, they're trying to work this against me. And if you don't, because you have to be a critical thinker, keep as a pastor, before you can actually give a sermon, there's a level of maturity that you have to come to do what? To make sure that you actually suppress yourself.
Sure.
Scotty has a radio because there's a responsibility that you have to have when other people are listening to you. So there's a level of maturity that you have to give yourself over to, and meekness that you have to give yourself over to if you're a sincere person. You know? So it really, by you all doing certain things, it actually is the best remedy for the poison that's been pushed upon us in so many vast different ways. And that's why we have to look at this statehood that we're in as being so deficient, that we're going to have what is going to support us and actually nourish us and give us the best opportunity to get to who we truly are. We have to bring about that remedy outside of this system.
Well, you absolutely do. And I'm going to take it back over to my neck of the woods in an analogy. And he says to meditate on me night and day. And in my opinion, the reason why we need to meditate on him night and day is because of the way that man's natural self is and the world we live in. We can be distracted. Look, how many people leave church, somebody cut them off in the highway, and immediately that church scene and everything is going, now you got a whole slur of cuss words that you're, you know. So in line with what you're saying, these things have to be done, because
I cuss from time to time myself, and as you know. But I saw the survey where it says that let me stop. Go ahead, Keith.
I think it's why that's so important, is because we'll go to the to the one that's familiar to us, with Nazi Germany.
Yes.
If you look at the German population at that time, they were not anti-Jew. He started that propaganda that dehumanizing them, et cetera, et cetera. By the end of the war, the townspeople would come out and watch them killed in mass.
Yep. And Keith, to make that point real quickly, and it's so important what you're saying, because the thing about it is that the conditions have to be created before the propaganda can start to work. Because if you have propaganda, if you have the watering without the seed in the soil, it's just going to be runoff. Propaganda is like water. Okay, it will either fertilize. I mean, it will either
cultivate cultivate what's already in you.
Right, cultivate what's already. Thank you, Scotty. That's what I was looking for. Like Scotty said, cultivate what's already in you, because it's the seed in the ground that springs the root and brings the fruit, right? The water is there to do what? To nourish the overall, to give the seed the ability to do what? To live and to reproduce itself. So before the propaganda can even useful, which is water, it first has to have the seed in the ground that's ready for the proper nutrients for it to grow. And that's what propaganda is. So the German people had to first be in the conditions, the ground conditions. Then they planted the seed of destruction. Then they watered it with propaganda.
Hey, Dave,
and there came the
seed. You know, I think it's also important because I've seen people try to justify slavery of before 1865. We're in a new era of neo-slavery now, but prior to that, you know, I hear people saying, well, that's just, you know, I'm not going to look down on George Washington for being a slaver, because that's just how things was back then. You know, yeah, it was a different time during then. Well, that line of thinking supposes that there were no people who were opposed to slavery. And I'm not just talking about the victims. I'm talking about the abolitionists who were not in bondage, who were opposed to it, because they were only opposed to it, and they didn't fall for the dehumanizing of the Africans, because that wasn't in them. Okay. So, but going back to what Keith, you know, was talking about in a spiritual sense, he's talking about the difference between your spirit and carnal man, spirit man and carnal man and the flesh. You know what I'm saying? Because the flesh wants what it wants. It wants to be pleased. It wants to be pleasure. It wants to engage in things that's going to give them some kind of temporary joy. And if you recognize you have these certain proclivities, then you have to meditate to suppress those thoughts. Am I along the right lines, Keith?
You're hitting the nail on the head.
100. And you know, Keith, what you were saying about, and I'm glad that you brought it back and focused to when you said it's something that we're familiar with the Germans. But let's talk about something that we're not familiar with, because we're in it. You know, sometimes they say that you're too close to the trees to see, you can't see the forest from the trees. Look at all of that and how that works in today's society. We don't even really need to look at the Germans anymore.
No, you don't.
We have become the fourth Reich. We have become the fourth Reich. This is why we're in such a dysfunctional system and statehood. We're really a part of a rogue nation. And if we don't mature ourselves, like we all, I think most of us here have, and our intentions are, I'll say from those that I talk to on here, I know that they are. If we haven't matured ourselves, you know, and this is why I thought it was so important when Scotty said what he said earlier, Keith, when he said that, hey, with the mass shootings, he said, wait a minute. Because we are that rogue nation now.
Absolutely.
We've been that rogue nation for a very, very, very long time. The overall seeding and the malevolent agenda
has been, we've been rooted in that. Now the propaganda only does what? It brings water to it. And then now that tree of destruction will grow, and it will bear fruits of poison that will drop to the ground and reseed, and it will actually feed and nourish the overall discord, anger, and hatred that will earmark this overall rogue nation as one of the worst nations ever to be on the planet. So we are in a complete state. I want to read something really quick, Chief, unless you want to chime into something.
No, sir.
I want to read something really quickly. And this one came from the Morning Porridge. It was one of the articles from yesterday. And I want to put this together for the deficient statehood that we're really in. And yesterday we went on some things, and we're going to pick that up too. But I want to read something from the Morning Porridge. Uh-oh. Of course, the Morning Porridge goes out on me. There we go. Here we go. So now, get rid of this one so I don't have. The Morning Porridge. There was an article in the Morning Porridge for the U.S. politics. And it's a different part, but I want to pick it up from here. Here it is. The United States should be the happiest place in the world these days. Employment among minorities has never been so high. More women than ever before are total in the workforce, which exceeds 63% in terms of participation rate. Years of economic growth, and more recently, Trump's tax boost last year, means investments have been strong. Corporations are doing well. Yet 10 years after the ultra-low interest rates, tax giveaways, and a massive increase in the wealth, and massive increase in the wealthiest of the richest 1% of the U.S. population, who now own a staggering 10% of the wealth.
Read that again. The 1% only owns 10%?
That's just here in the U.S. That's not the global 1%.
Yeah, I was under.
That's the, well, you know, the
1% the, owned over 50%.
Yes, they're talking about in the U.S. Just mm-hmm. just the from the standpoint that the pool of individuals are the population of the U.S.
Okay,
and that would be in line to the global 1% that own. No, it's actually 65%. They own over 65%. But let me go back to it so you can hear it again. Yet after 10 years of ultra-low interest rates, tax giveaways, and a massive increase in the wealth of the richest 0.01% of the U.S. population, mm-hmm. So they're just talking about the U.S., the 1% is in the U.S., who now own a staggering 10% of the wealth. Wages for the rest of, move this down, wages for the rest are only now beginning to show any signs of upward pressure. Let me just stop there real quickly. So he's laying out all of these things, but when they talk about 10% of the wealth, I would ask, what do you mean by wealth? Very, very important question. While Benzo and his fellow trillionaires wonder which slice of the cake to gobble up, to guzzle next, the facts are the poorest workers in the United States are in poverty. Over 60% of the lowest income goes to cover their house, over 60% of the lowest income goes to cover their housing and transportation costs. The next 25% on food, the 50% percentile income bracket defined as the middle class, sp-
spends 44% on housing and travel. More than half the population aren't saving for their retirement, but are scraping to put food on the table. My most recent trip to the United States was an eye-opener. Poverty has never been so visible on the streets, and it feels like the income inequality debate is bursting out. No wonder populists are calling for the rich to be taxed till their eyes pop. But the U.S. needs to do two things: create a fair tax equality system and fix what's broken in its society and economy.
Hey, Dave, I was just having this conversation with my cousin yesterday, who works at works in the Charlotte Mecklenburg school system. He go to work every day. But, you know, I was talking to him yesterday, and he was concerned about his lights about to be shut out. They might get cut off because he's behind on the bill. And I was telling him, well, if that happens, you can use the, the generator until you can get it straight. But, you know, even my own sister had to quit working in the school system to find a better paying job. And we were talking about this very thing about, we keep hearing all these reports about unemployment being at an all-time low and what have you. But I'm like, these jobs ain't paying nothing. This is why you have teachers going on strike in various states, you know, because of low pay and large class sizes, which is due to immigration to a certain extent, to why those class sizes. But you know, just because people is working don't mean they're able to provide for themselves. And my cousin was talking about, man, I got to find a second job.
Yeah. There is a deficient statehood of the United States, and that's the true reality show.
And him and my sister got degrees. So going to college, while we all should, you know, aspire for higher education, just don't think that that's automatically going to guarantee you a better paying job. Because they both got degrees.
Let me, this is so important. I'm glad, Scotty. This is why we named this part two of a deficit statehood, a deficient statehood, the true reality show. If you look at all these reality shows, they are propagandizing the demise of everyone. And what Scotty is talking about, this is why we're in such a deficient statehood, because of this. Here's the main problem. Just because you have a job doesn't mean that you have a living wage that will bring about prosperity for you and your family. This system is built on, you'll have a job, but you won't get paid anything to be able to make it. You won't be able to, let alone acquire any real money. You'll always be in a continuous cycle on the overall a wheel of destruction, the mouse running on the wheel of the wheel of destruction, running fast, but going nowhere. That's how this system is built. And it's built that way, and it's going to disenfranchise us completely, even further than what we see now. This is the true reality show of the United States. And it's back just what Scotty said. They have degrees and everything else, but they still don't have a measures of savings. Keith, even if they have a measures of savings in cash, guess what? You're not saving a darn thing. All of the cash's power is being sucked away from it every single day through inflation. So it's becoming powerless. What difference if you have a battery but it can't hold a charge? The best way to put it, Keith, is just like, well, a battery is the best way. You know, sometimes you have a battery that has a full charge, right? And as it starts to be used up, what happens to that charge? That charge goes down. But guess what? You may not be able to see that battery is not fully charged. But guess what? When you put it in something, what happens? It doesn't work.
That's the economic state of the U.S. That's the economic state of what we are facing right now. And if we don't have a fully charged battery, guess what we'll have? A battery with no power. And sometimes batteries, after a while, because what happens to what charged the battery, that overall acid becomes corrosive. And what does it do? It ultimately eats through the walls of the battery. And now it poisons, because what's inside of it is corrosive and is a poison. Using poison to bring a temporary charge, when you can actually get a sustainable, healthy charge that won't kill you. Very, just so important. One of the things that in this deficient state, here's what's the problem. We are in a perpetual cycle of default, because we are not utilizing our intrinsic value to ourselves. They have tricked everyone, because all of the situations in the planting and the fertile ground and the seeding and then the propaganda is perfect for continuing this overall cycle of destruction. What we really need to do is refocus our energy into something else that is based off of the ecosystem, not man's economy, and we'll find a full charge battery always there for us. We're getting ready to go to a commercial break. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. And I just want to say, nothing like a little bit of optimism there, Chief. As we went into the commercial break, before I could mute the overall mic, all I heard was Chief said, "We're screwed." Well, Chief, I just want to thank you for that bit of optimism. But let me tell you, let me bring some optimism to this. If we continue to do this, we already know what's going to happen. That should be a motivating, optimistic factor in getting us to do something different than what we've been doing before, so it will keep us from going insane. Because if we keep trying to insist on doing how this corrupt system works, if we keep participating in it, we're going to go crazy, because we're going to expect something else that is not going to happen. Here's what needs to happen, in my opinion, for us to get out of this statehood, this deficient statehood, and get into a efficient, prosperous statehood. One of the things that we need to do is we need to go back to trades. When was the last time you saw a trade school that actually taught and educated young people that actually educated young people to use their talents and use their talents to be able to sustain themselves? Everything we have now is a service-based economy, because service is what subjugation and slavery is all about. You're here to serve me. And if we're in a service mentality, that means we are in a society that is actually propagandizing our own demise through service of subjugation. We need to be productive. We need school. We need real education in the vocation. Because I'm going to tell you, if you have a trade, If you have a real sustainable trade, a critical trade, you don't need the economy. Guess what? The economy needs you because you have intrinsic value and intrinsic worth. Because what you do can sustain the economy or fix it. But what we really need to do is we need to change our overall directives. We need to get back into the ecosystem of talents and ability. And because of that, now we'll be able to facilitate more sustainability that is not required upon debt. I didn't say money. The system would tell you always say money, 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 money when they mean debt. It's just like the devil saying, I'll give you heaven, 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 but you got to go with me to hell. That's how that really works. Because debt is not money. But we need money. You can't live without money. Can't. The great creator doesn't make anything but money. Everything the great creator makes has what? Intrinsic value. Because it exists. So we need to remove ourselves out of a debt-based system and reintroduce the overall true sustainability of the ecosystem. And if you look at sustainability in today's world, they lie and they tell you that, well, sustainability means that you need to have what? You need to get into global warming. I don't know about you. I like a warm planet. Last I checked, the sun is pro-person. It's pro-people. But man has defiled that in a way to trick you into thinking that the sun is your enemy. So much so that, oh man, I don't even want to go into it, but it's there.
I got to put in a plug.
Yes.
This is my thing, but of course my thing is, and you keep talking about the great creator, I would suggest that you get back with the great creator and get your relationship together.
100.
And I think that's to be vital because the battle's already won. With that being said, it brings about a couple of other thoughts. Now, that's the main thought. That's the main thought. But the other thing that I thought was so interesting, what you were talking about, what we need to do. I think what the problem with that, though, is, Dave, is to fix our problems are not really that difficult. They're really not. I think the problem is, and I went to the movie this weekend, and again, this is a conversation that we had before, you know, but this character said something in the movie that was profound, but what we've been saying all along. And what this guy said, he said, you know, he says, I would rather rule in hell than to be a servant in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that's the attitude of a lot of people.
Yes.
And if you look at the ills of this country, the reason why we're where we are is because too many people have that exact mindset.
Right, Keith, right. Yeah, Keith, because I was going to say, you know, one of the things from that standpoint, what has to happen is that you're going to have to break your date with the devil. You can't keep dating the devil. We can't take a part of this system with us. This is why we'll wander and continue to wander and continue to wander. When guess what? The land of milk and honey is right there in front of us.
Right there.
But see, you can't partake of it because you are not psychologically, mentally, or nor are you convictionally capable of breaking your date with the devil. Because it's too that date is too pleasurable. And that date brings about an addiction. And in that addiction, there's a chemical changing of your mind. Your body starts to work different. And then now you become what? Dependent on it.
Well, it becomes you.
It becomes a part of you.
So a man thinketh the soul that he is. And that's exactly right. That's exactly right.
And that's really, if we want to really, my thing is that I don't want to change anything. For me, it's really a measure of moving to destroying everything. I love what Vladimir Putin said. I'm not condoning Vladimir Putin, but what I am saying is valuable in one of his convictions is this, and I admire it because it's the truth. There was a movie, when I did go to the movies, there was a movie, and it was one of the Batman movies, right? And the Joker had burnt up a Brinks car or something with a bunch of cash in it.
Yeah.
And you know what he said? I think in so many words, I can't be bought.
It's a warehouse with a mountain of cash in it.
Thank you, Scotty. Yeah. It was that one. Right. It was a warehouse with a mountain of cash in it. but that was the overall. That's what he was saying, right, Scotty? If I remember that right, right?
Yeah, you can interpret it that way.
You know what I'm talking about? Oh yeah. Right. Okay. So you know that.
Yes, he was saying that he wasn't doing what he was doing because he was motivated by money.
Right. And Vladimir Putin said this: "There's nothing that you have that we want." And that, and I know that that burned into you, Keith, because the way you looked when you heard him say it. I don't want to change anything. I really think that there's a seasons of exodus that we need to have.
You're exactly right. And again, it goes all the way back through history, and I tell people all the time, look, leave a man to his own devices, and he will always lead himself into destruction.
What Scotty was talking about, the carnal man.
Absolutely.
Right.
So if you go all the way back through society, it goes back to exactly what you were just saying. The man goes, he prospers, and a lot of times what we see as prospering is our greatest villain. Because what we see as prosperity and material goods and the desire and the convinces of having material goods leads us to do things to what Scotty was talking about earlier, the fulfilling of the flesh. And the fulfilling of the flesh is a selfish motivation. And once everybody gets to where we're only worried about ourselves, I want power, I want money, everything else deteriorates.
You know nothing about the power of love, you just love power.
Sure. And that's why capitalism in itself is a lie. I shared several articles. And what they were talking about was your boy Belo.
Who? Belo.
Yeah. He made over, I'm pulling out a number, but don't hold me to this number, but he profited over, oh my goodness, it was, over $20 billion.
Who y'all talking about, Beto?
Pardon me?
Are y'all talking about a politician?
No, we're talking about
Amazon. I don't think that's his name.
Oh, his name? Bezos. If you ask Trump, it's Bozo.
Yeah. If you ask Keith's friend, it's Bozo, right?
In a lot of ways, that's accurate. But the coming
from El Stupido.
Yeah. But they profited all that money and they never paid a single cent in taxes. Now, it's in taxes. Capitalism is a lie. Everything, I was telling somebody that the whole way of life in the United States today, food, drugs, politics, capitalism, our version of what they think of socialism, it's all a lie.
You know, Keith, and it's, this is why the deficient statehood, the true reality show. And yesterday before we left, I talked about our shelters, our homes, are not really even real forms of shelter. They're really just a form of cover because they can't shield you from any darn thing, really.
Hey, you know, talking about
Go ahead. That's Scotty, sorry.
I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry, man. Bezos. So, Keith, yes. Are you aware? And I was so encouraged by this because this goes back to what we were talking about, having a job but not being able to support yourself and your family. And, you know, he was asking for demanding $3 billion in you know, corporate welfare from New York City in order to put that Amazon, you know, warehouse there, which was going to create, I don't know how many jobs, 3,500 jobs, something like that. And
5,000 jobs. And then all the collateral jobs that go with it.
Yeah. And so, but there was pushback by local politicians as well as the representative for that district and saying, no, if the state can give this corporate giveaway to Bezos, the richest man in the world, they can take that money and improve the lives of the people that already live there. Why are you giving this money away for people that's going to be working in suspect conditions? Because I heard one of them called it P capitalism. And what he meant is that because of their productivity goals for the employees, they won't leave the conveyor belt line, and so they'll just pee in the bottle.
Yeah. There's a lot of talk about the way they treat the workers, absolutely.
But because this is what I say. This is what they're really, the trick that they're doing there. They want to privatize their liabilities and then privatize the profits of it. They're going to get the taxpayers to pay for what? Their wealth.
Sure.
And they're not going to share it in any form or proportionate to it. I mean, it just doesn't. And then you got to remember something. They know the difference between currency and money. So what do? They use their cash to do what? Acquire assets to make themselves immune from what? Poverty.
You know, and what was so, and you're exactly right, what's so interesting, what I bring about what Scotty is saying so interesting, is they turned around and they really blasted the people for saying, we don't want that. And they talked about how ignorant those people are because they are giving up all those jobs, et cetera, et cetera. But what Scotty is talking about is basically what their argument goes right back to trickle-down economics.
And let me make this point real quickly, and you can see the importance of it. This is the deficient statehood that we're in, the true reality show. Yesterday I talked about, just before we ended the show, talked about our homes not being a form of shelter. What they are is just a form of concealment. It gives us no real cover. Yes, but even in today, they can look through your walls with different stuff, right?
Absolutely.
But if your home, well, most homes in the United States, is just a measure of concealment, it gives you no cover. What does cover mean? Cover means that it can protect you for something that can harm you. And with the way that the homes are built in this country, if the wind blows a little too hard, guess what happens? It collapses. If the wind blows a projectile, or if hail comes down, guess what the hail does to your roof? Destroys the roof, even comes through the roof.
And then this is the thing. We think just because it's a roof that is giving us something, but we don't realize it's the integrity of the overall instructor that's really true. And there's the facade. So the same thing with our overall economic standing. The so-called jobs and the measures of the economy and what we build our overall trust in is a facade. It can't protect. It's a concealment. It's not cover from a storm. The homes that are built now, if you took a match to one part of the home, the walls itself, the whole home would just be engulfed in the flame. But if your home was correctly built, guess what the wall would do to that overall match? Would put it out. Because that overall home is built as a what? As a cover. Same thing in our economy. The jobs, the economy is built off of a cover, not to weather any storm. And there is going to be
built off of a concealment.
I'm sorry, right. It's built, thank you, Keith. It's built off of concealment, not to be able to protect you from any storm. There is fire that's coming and it's going to burn right through the wall economically. There is hail that's coming and it's going to go right through the roof. There are winds that are going to be coming and it's going to blow the whole structure down. You can build your home. You can build your overall financial future off the concealment as much as you want. But guess what? There will always be storms that will blow it down. We need to change. And we need to get back to a real truth, regardless of how we've been deceived from the lie. Count it as a part of the game. Oh, you lied to me. That's what caught me. But now I need to protect myself from that type of what? Threat. We have no threat awareness.
No.
We have no threat awareness. And that's the true reality.
And again, it's got to be pointed out the fact that we have no threat awareness because it's been consciously taken away from us.
Yes. Yes. It really has. It really has. And so be encouraged by the you know, I don't know, Keith, if there still are. You can help me. You spend a lot of time watching TV. I don't know if there well, I let me just tell y'all, Chief try to get me all the time, so I know one thing. I'm going to hurry up and punch him before he punch me, because he try to kick me all the time. But I don't know, Keith, because I know you watch a lot of TV. I know at one time the so-called reality shows were really popular.
Still are.
Okay, there's something very valuable that you can learn from the reality shows. There's a full court press to deceive you and to trick you.
Absolutely.
And if you know that, it will motivate you to action.
Absolutely.
Because the true reality is this. Everything that the airwaves are put on the airwaves are sacred to controlling you into defranchisement and subjugation and enslavement. And the little truth that's there is always verbal judoed away, as because they know that they can connect your spirit and then attach you to something else. Very, very important. That's why they use that. So,
and so with that being said, just like says that those things were taken away from us consciously, we have to be just as conscious to knowing these things. You said reality TV, and the people will sit there and say, you know, I know this is bullcrap, I know stuff ain't no good, but
it's entertaining.
There you go.
And they become addicted to it.
And there
they
you
become
go.
Entranced by it. They go into a catatonic state.
Yes, sir.
Where they become zombieized and they go into a daydream state, because you know why? They're fantasizing what they would do in that situation, and that's the trick. That's the trick. I heard yesterday on one show, who would you vote for, and why? What politician in the upcoming presidential election, what do they have to do to get your vote? And I'm gonna just say this. This is just me, and this is just me privately. I'm never gonna put the overall White House above my house. I'm never going to put Congress, the assembled embodiment of Congress, over my relationships with people. I'm never going to put the judicial system above what's practical and what's reasonable in my relationship with people. I'm never going to put a symbolic flag above my pledge, my moral absolutes. So for me, it's really always in proper perspective. That brings me balance, because I know that there is a measure of unbalance. I'm unbalanced in a lot of other areas that I need to be giving my attention to.
Now, with that being said, and you're exactly right, but understand this: you cannot say that and stand on that and continue to stand on it. You have to bring that to your that thought to your consciousness. Every morning you wake up,
yes,
you have to make that decision to do what you just said every day. Because if you don't, it goes way back in the conversations earlier today, when you become stigmatized without you even knowing it. Nobody wakes up at the bottom of the barrel, right, without saying, how did I get here, right? The thing is, you don't wake up until you're at the bottom of the barrel, unless you take what you just said and you make that statement consciously to yourself on a daily basis.
From being on the bottom of the barrel.
Yes.
You know, because many of us have been on the bottom of the barrel and still are on the bottom of the barrel. That's okay, because who you are is much more than that. But I always like this, and I've always told my children and people that I really care about, the key to becoming a champion is that you first have to learn how to lose. Losing has more of an educational, more beneficial to you than winning.
Absolutely.
So-called. So, listen, everyone, I just want to say thank you all for listening to Tando Radio Show today. And we are great creator willing, God willing, we'll be back tomorrow. Remember, it's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. Much love, much respect. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.